It's a pleasure to be with you here this afternoon. This is definitely a collaborative effort on the part of all the authors, sharing this presentation between everybody, make sure that we covered as many bases as we could to get across some of the challenges and successes of our agricultural experiment stations, or our agricultural science centers is what we all agreed upon to call ourselves for today. I want to give you an idea of New Mexico. We are even younger than Oklahoma, with 1912 statehood. But our population is centered around the Albuquerque and Santa Fe area. And I'm going to talk today, guide you through this state from using the New Mexico's Ag Department's production regions. So I'm going to go from, they've divided it into these four quadrants, and we're going to kind of spend some time in each one as we go through it today. And then we have our Las Cruces campus is down here in Las Cruces, down in this region. And then we have Carlsbad and Artesia and Roswell. These are those, and then up here we have Farmington. So those are our primary major population centers. So when we look at that, you can see that on the northwest part of our state, almost 65% of the population lives in this region. And as we go and look at what our ag commodities are, we can see that in that northwest region we have not even 10% of all the ag sales. But as soon as we move into our eastern side of the state, we're close to 83-some-odd% of the ag production or ag sales. The southeast quarter of the state represents about 23% of the population, about 40% of the ag sales, large part because it also includes the Las Cruces area with a lot of their sales. Our experiment, and then we take a little snapshot of the kinds of farms that we have across the state. We can start with up in that northwest corner with San Juan County. It is home to the Navajo agricultural products industry, and it's probably the single most largest producer in the state of commodities. But we have a lot of small farms in that region as well, some retired lifestyle-type farms as well, and mostly low-income-type farming situations. Low meaning less than $100,000 in sales. And not too many, and this is a percentage of the total in the state. So the large farm, the very large farm that we have up there, barely registers on the statewide basis. But as we go into Rio Arriba, which is more in the central part of the state, more mountainous along the Rio Grande, we have similar, a little bit more retirees, and you get down to Doñana County, where Las Cruces is, we still have a lot of retired farmers in that region. But we also introduce the very large farms in this region as well. These are farms that have more than $500,000 in sales. And as well as the east side into Curry County, and most of the east side of the state is going to have a lot of large farms and large and high income type farming operations. Most of that on the east side is going to, the very large farms have come in the last 15, 20 years with the introduction of the dairy industry. It's changed over the years. For New Mexico, we've had an actual increase in the number of farms, an increase of 38% or so, but its size has decreased. We have a lot of people with some money, and we've actually, a lot smaller clientele or a lot less acreage being occupied. As that farm size decreased, those sales also decreased over the last 5 years, kind of a shift more towards the lower end. The Ag Science Centers across New Mexico are pretty much based in that region of from Farmington. We're going to take a tour from Farmington to Alcalde. Los Lunas Mora is a forest research station, And we'll look at Tucumcari, Clovis, Artesia in the Las Cruces area. Forestry, again, but we also have livestock in several stations that look at livestock. I'm not going to talk about those today. It was a decision of the group that we'd focus on crops, being an agronomy meeting and that. But very important to the region that we have these. We're lucky in the fact that the experiment station did set these up over time so that we do have a good representation for the agriculture that does occur in these regions. You know, our campus, the Las Cruces campus, is very well represented across the state with the people that live and work in these different locations. These are the folks that perform a lot of the work. We have faculty, we have professional staff at each one of these locations. They live and work and die in these regions, and they provide a valuable service not only to the university but to their own regional community. So they're true outreach for the university at these different locations. We'd like to hang on to as many of these people as possible because they do make a difference in the overall benefit for the state. We'll start with Farmington. It was established in 1966. This is probably one of the most furthest away crop research stations. Clayton, being the livestock station, is also very far away from Las Cruces, but it has a sizable amount of acres that it works with, 158 frost-free days, fairly dry climate, warm summers, and fairly good nighttime temperatures. It was flood irrigated till the 1980s with sprinkler systems installed in the late 80s, and they've gone into some drip irrigation. It was actually, the station was petitioned by the Navajo agricultural products industry to help them out. And then the legislature authorized that station in the mid-60s with state appropriations coming from it. And then NMSU provides the Native American products industry and the surrounding areas with staff to help do that sort of thing. There is a memorandum of understanding with the San Juan Community College there, so the faculty that live and work there actually do have some teaching responsibilities with that college. Its main focus is agronomy and water use, weed control, and horticultural crops. They've had studies where they're looking at ethanol production from cottonwoods and this sort of thing. A lot of their products, or a lot of their activity, surrounds the activity and needs of the Native American products. We'll go down over to Alcalde. A little cooler nighttime temperatures, similar elevation, but its focus supports more sustainable agriculture. It's also known as a Sustainable Agricultural Research Center. And a lot of fruit and vegetable and specialty crops, especially for our communities that have very small acreage. It serves a lot of our Pueblo communities. There's a lot of hydrological information that they're trying to get out with the acequia system that they use in this region. And they recently hired a fruit specialist to help with the small fruit industry that's thriving in that part of the country, part of our state, introducing hoop houses and this sort of thing. It was established in 1952, and it also is home to the Rural Agricultural Improvement and Public Affairs Project. So this is a large contingent of extension-related people. They also have some agricultural business individuals at this station, pretty large staff, and serves a very important part of what perhaps makes a signature region of New Mexico, that Santa Fe region that folks know New Mexico for. Go a little south, just south of Albuquerque, to one of the most populous areas of the state, to Los Lunas. It was established in 1937, and it's had a high water table early on, so they moved it to further south into the Los Lunas region. And it was a lot of that land that they had gotten at the time was actually owned by the corrections facility, and then it was transferred over to the university in 1972. Fairly warm summers again, but its focus is more of that peri-urban region, those small farmettes, the 7, 10, 3,500-acre type plots of ground that a lot of folks have in that region. There are both horticulture and agronomic studies, includes wine grapes and this sort of these sorts of crops. It is also home to the USDA's NRCS Plant Materials Center there. So there's a lot of work being done in the development of plants through that materials center. The Mora Forestry Center goes up into our high altitudes, mostly a federally funded position there. It's initially got started with Christmas tree production to help that community, those communities up in the mountains, but ended up being a lot more than that, and Christmas trees became kind of a sideline and actually not a very big important market for that region. But it did has grown into more of a nursery production area for different trees. The individuals that were there were looking at reforestation and mine land reclamation, as well as agroforestry, and developing international relationships with places like Afghanistan. And they also have a interest in the urban forestry. And we shift over to the northeast part of the state with Tucumcari. Tucumcari was originally a USDA facility, and it was established in 1912 and transferred in 1949 to NMSU. It has water rights, but they haven't really had much water to work with over the last 5 years. However, they will be receiving about 360,000 cubic meters of reclaimed water from the city of Tucumcari to help start doing some research with that product and give them some water to work with. Again, it's a really good location for irrigated pasture crops as well as dry land conditions. The trees and windbreak studies have been done there, as well as forage and grazing systems. And it also serves as the Eastern New Mexico's outdoor arboretum. There's a whole host of different trees in that region that people can come and look at. Tucumcari is really well known for its annual bull sale. This year marks its 50th year, so it's quite a tradition for the region. And I think folks from far and wide, even into Oklahoma and Texas, would agree that that's probably a well-known activity for that station. Let's go a little bit south of Tucumcari. They actually share a superintendent with Clovis and Tucumcari. And it was established in 1948 on the High Plains of Texas. A lot of cooperative work goes on between them and Lubbock, Texas A&M, and Texas Tech. They got an irrigation well from the Ogallala Aquifer in the early 1960s. They had state appropriations in the mid-2000s, and that allowed them to increase their staff. These are all faculty within the different various departments on campus. Its focus is irrigated and rain-fed crops, as well as forage, grain sorghum, peanut work. There's a peanut breeder at that location, as well as alternative crops such as canola and the oil seed and bioenergy type crops. It also houses the dairy extension specialist for the campus and works very well with the dairy industry in New Mexico. We come down to the southeast part of the state into Artesia. At the southeastern New Mexico branch station, it is labeled on the highway at least. And it serves that Pecos River Valley from Roswell on down through Carlsbad and below. It is a flood, or it actually uses groundwater instead of Pecos River water for its projects. It has irrigation rights for all 80 acres. Irrigated crops is pretty much all we can do in that region. But we've had folks that have come over to look at salt cedar eradication using some insects, different projects to look at how well those will do at ridding our rivers of that. And we also have horticultural crops that are worked on there, including rosemary for a food ingredient company and biofuels. We have cooperative agreements with one of our neighboring communities to look at biofuel from algae. Then we come onto the line, onto the NMSU campus. We come into the, what we call the Leyendecker Plant Science Farm. This is in 1969. It replaced the old agronomy farm, and now that and that's became known as the horse farm. It fairly warm, very low precipitation in this region, but its focus is on agronomic crops, irrigation practices. It hosts most of the academic programs in the Plant and Environmental Sciences Department, as well as entomology, plant pathology, and weed sciences. A lot of the faculty so close that that's what place they will go. Biofuel research is also conducted there, as well as the IR4 program for some wheat screening of herbicides and this sort of thing. And the seed certification program is housed. The Fabian Garcia Center is actually very close to the NMSU campus, just a few blocks away, very small location, but they use a combination of flood and drip irrigation, and they test mostly horticultural crops. There's turf grass, there's a vineyard there now with the for the extension viticulturalists. There's demonstration gardens demonstrating different types of chilies for the area, and there's a lot of outreach programs that occur through this location. So this one's one of the earliest. It was established before statehood in 1906 and serves as a good backdrop for our state there with the Oregon Mountains in the background. New Mexico State does have faculty at each one of these locations, most of them. And they're represented by folks that are actually have tenure and promotion through the Plant and Environmental Sciences Department or Extension Plant Sciences. There are folks that have appointments with the Agricultural Economics and Agricultural Business Department in the college. There's Extension Animal Sciences and Natural Resources associated with it at our livestock locations, as well as we have weed control specialists that actually work out of the Extension Animal Sciences Department, as well as our dairymen. Our dairy extension specialist, entomology, plant pathology, and weed scientists department has faculty up at Farmington, and the animal and range sciences department as well has folks there at the different livestock facilities that we have around the state. Staff varies from a low of 5 to a high of 17 people, total people at each one of the stations. It's if you include including all the extension appointments, if we took a quick look at the faculty there and their FTEs for Ag Experiment Station and CES appointments, Alcalde, Artesia, Clovis, Farmington, and Los Lunas all have joint appointments. And so either majority inside of a research department or their majority inside of extension and have a research appointment to go with it. It's more in Tucumcari that pretty much all Ag Experiment Station. We've had some good successes over time in New Mexico, especially with our regional board of directors. Each one of the Ag Science Centers actually has a board of directors and are able to get in some legislative support for it. There are targeted fundamental and applied research programs that occur at each one of these locations. There have been several legislative initiatives brought about by our advisory committees. Alcalde had success in that rural RAPAP program, we call, and that small farm task force. They've been able to add faculty and staff because of that. Artesia, in their mid-90s, also was successful at the behest of that advisory committee to secure funding for additional faculty and staff at that location with enhancement appropriations. And we were actually able to reclaim some of the positions that were lost due to budget cuts and this sort of thing from the time before. Clovis had also had an initiative and added 2 faculty, 4 staff, and operations dollars. Tucumcari was able to add a staff member and irrigation system. Farmington has added 2 research specialists and a technician, as well as faculty and operations, so a very successful effort on the part of that advisory board. And then in Las Cruces, they were able to establish a small farms institute and move forward with individuals for that position. You know, it becomes balancing research attributes and capabilities with the research agenda and funding opportunities. It's a real balancing act to make things work. And the state has, of course, like most everybody, we've lost funding. We've had to, some places have had to give up some positions. But we have started to look more at diverse funding opportunities with increased reliance on external grants. You can see here multiple different funding opportunities that folks have had, such as the mine land reclamation with the different companies, the Bureau of Land Management. Bureau of Reclamation has done a lot for us for irrigation technology research. They have been successful in some national research initiatives as well as NSF grants. This is all tied in a lot of times with faculty on campus as well as the faculty that are off campus. And soon, with the Water Trust Board, at least right now, we have some guarantee of getting water up to the Tucumcari Science Center. We have also had success with the Western SARE program, different types of things. We have increased reliance on external grants, such as the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, the Department of Energy, Sandia Labs, different foundations, food ingredient companies have all little bits at a time, and some of these are fairly major. We've also have partnerships and outreaches that have gone throughout the state, including Tucumcari, again, the Soil and Water Conservation Districts. We've got relationships with different tribes in northern New Mexico. Lots of federal opportunities have come our way to help make things ends meet. We also have partnerships with commercial and industry through the different seed companies as well as biofuels and this sort of thing and grants that help that out. We've also worked in collaboration with many of the other universities, Colorado State, Kansas State for canola work. San Juan College helps in that respect in Farmington area and even all the way north to Washington State where we have this some of the cancer work going on. There's also international organizations that the different faculty work on that throughout the state. Our challenges are with top-level university, balancing our mission with the need for grants and contracts, trying to meet the needs of the local region. For untenured faculty, it's getting, do we want graduate student training or are we going to achieve our research needs? That becomes a challenge for them because they are tenured through an on-campus department. Our challenges continue to be with an increase in urbanization. We've lost legislators that had an ag background and are now mostly all urban representatives, so it becomes more of an outreach and an extension effort to get them educated in all the things that we're able to do for them. We want to maintain relevance, of course, but when you've got 83% of the large farms needing attention and you also have a large population that has a large speaking voice at the state legislature, we have to mix all those together. And we work very well, I think, with our extension service as well as the experiment station in order to meet the needs of that area. We continue to face changes in crops as well. Peanuts are moved out mostly. The dairy's moved in. We have more interest in peri-urban environments, small farms. Organic agriculture is on the rise. Everywhere is going to be water issues. So we're trying to stay ahead of our producers. And a lot of these new programs will help us do that. I would like to... Our authors wanted to recognize and offer tribute to two of our colleagues who are no longer with us, with Greg Mullins and John Harrington, who has put a lot into this presentation before he was called home. Thank you. Yes, sir. Okay, he's asking how do the advisory boards work, and are they self funded or independent?
Right.
Each station, each advisory board for the station has actually gone to the legislature for funding. So they're their own line item within the system from the state. Right. So the advisory board is there to help out these ag science centers succeed. And knowing that a bulk of that money comes from the state, that's where they focus their energy. And then the faculty work on trying to get that those grants and that to help out as well. Yes?
That's based on the university actually provides basic support. That's for enhancements. And they also have input on research programs.
All right. And I should mention that it's going to be interesting as we see the erosion of our base support from the state and that erosion that comes from hired people at the university actually, you know, removing funds and putting it in towards other programs. It should be interesting to see what that advisory board will be able to do, maybe, and what we can do as faculty to offset that. Any other? Well, thank you for the opportunity. Oh, okay, good.
I was glad that you mentioned the large number of very small farms, because I think we're seeing the same thing. We can have a field day and get very few real farmers there, but if we have a beginning farmer conference, we're in there.
Yep.
And so I think you must be seeing the same type of thing.
Exactly.
And that goes back with our first talk about getting production agriculture dollars for research. It almost to me looks like that our focus must start being the basic sciences and then the small, because those are our new customers,
maybe.
It seems like.
Right, the new and emerging farmers with those small, well, you saw, you know, the number of acres or the number of farms decreased, size has decreased, it's smaller farmers, they need that help, they don't know what they're doing. We got a lot of folks moving in that want organic agriculture and they don't understand the basics of even soil testing to head it off. So, and that part of my job at Artesia is to look at all the soil tests that come in too. So, which is not like looking at 20 or 40 or 500,000 samples or anything, but because we'd have a very small clientele base for that.
But.
Very much so. The big farms. Wow, 4,000. That's a lot.
Get their attention and show them that this is where your food comes from.
I agree. I think that outreach component is going to become even more important as we try to get more things going. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.